One of the main events during last week's CFS was a youth plenary. Youth and those working with youth in agriculture sectors were invited to discuss issues concerning the Zero Hunger Generation and how youth today will help the world build more sustainable food systems for the future. I brought those panelists into studio to discuss the issues that were going to be brought to the table during the event. For those of you listening to this podcast, please note that one of our guests in studio was speaking in Spanish. We had an interpreter with us in studio to facilitate the exchange, and her voice will be dubbed in English. In the FAO studio today are the panelists who are participating in the youth plenary. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
I'm Jaime Manalo de Fort from the Philippines. I head the Development Communication Division of the Philippine Rice Research Institute. Basically, I'm leading a campaign. It's called Infomediary Campaign. It's youth engagement in agriculture in the Philippines, and it's being implemented in over 100 high schools nationwide in the Philippines.
My name is Lami Ngwenya from South Africa. I'm a consultant for the Global Forum for Rural Advisory Services. I'm here as one of the private sector mechanism delegates, and I'm working on the issues of talent development as part of the working group.
My name is Temble Momakamba. I work for the Food, Agriculture, and Natural Resources Policy Analysis Network. It's a mouthful, so we like to call ourselves FENAPAN, a regional organization working in Africa, focusing on food, agriculture, and natural resources policies. And I work as the project coordinator for the project that's focusing on youth and women. So I'm working on engaging young people in policy processes.
Hola, gracias por el espacio.
Hi, thank you for having me. I am Luz, and I come from a farmer's community called Cajamarca in the north of Peru. I work for the International Catholic Movement of Rural Youth. We work with young farmers, indigenous people, fishermen, and artisans.
So the first question that I'll pose to you all, what are the main challenges in trying to engage youth in the agriculture sector?
I guess a key issue in engaging young people, I mean, one of the key challenges is their perception in agriculture. For instance, in the Philippines, there's a long history of poverty among farming families. So it's kind of difficult to convince them to pursue a career in agriculture if for the longest time, a lot of, you know, poverty issues have been encountered. And their parents, in the same way, their parents would not want them to take agriculture-related courses because of the poverty. So I guess that's one of the key issues, I mean, engaging young people to pursue agriculture-related courses.
I think one of the biggest challenges relating to the issue of perception is that young people, or even many other people, even those who are not young, they think of agriculture from the narrow perspective of farming or primary production, and that young people don't want to engage with. And I'm saying if we widen the scope and widen the lens through which we promote agriculture, we can be able to attract young people into the sector.
I would say that one of the biggest challenges, actually, I'm thinking of two things. The first one is the fact that young people are often looked on as clients and not the drivers of any initiatives that are put out there. So even when it comes to policies, no one consults them to say, let's try and develop this together. Let's try and develop agriculture projects together. But in the end, we then want them to be implementers or to be beneficiaries, which really doesn't work. So they have to be the drivers of whatever initiatives we come up with. Secondly, I would like to say there is really a lack of good role models out there who are working in agriculture, who can show young people that this thing works. Because young people are often attracted to what they see as being successful. So if you don't have enough of those role models out there, you won't have young people taking part in agriculture.
One of the major challenges that we face is the recognition of such communities. I mean, young people living in rural areas. We need to be effectively recognized as we are human beings with full rights. We need different public policies, different programs and projects to develop all the human potential that we have in our regions. A second important challenge to us is also the access to pertinent and quality education. We deserve as much at social, political, economic, and production level to extend our capacities and abilities in order to promote our own development.
Do you have specific examples from your work that taught you something about the willingness or even unwillingness of youth to engage in agriculture initiative? Perhaps it was something you learned from the youth you worked with or a process of engagement that didn't quite work out?
Back at home in South Africa, I engage a lot also with youth. you find that there are youth that are taking agriculture as a subject at high school level. And when you ask them, what do you want to do? Definitely, agriculture will not come as a top priority subject where they want to pursue. They will tell you, I take agriculture because I have to do it, but I don't see myself in the agricultural sector because I don't want to be a farmer. Because a lot of people, especially in the rural areas, you find that a lot of families do farming for subsistence. So you have mothers, grandmothers who are smallholder farmers, and they have never benefited, you know, in terms of, you know, the economic gain of it. They remain poor. So these are the people that a lot of young people, especially in the rural areas, see, you know, when I pick, you know, what Tembi said about the role model. So they associate that with poverty. They associate that with something that it's not sexy. And sexy in the context of, you know, it's not profitable. But also to expand, what I'm promoting is that, yes, farming, primary production is part of, you know, agriculture. I see Tembi here. I'll make reference to her because I know her well. She's in the policy space and she's doing very well. She's a role model, but she's not farming, but she's a very key actor in the agricultural sector. Is that not a role model? Is that not an opportunity for young people to engage? So we need to expand how we look at agriculture. There are other skills and functions that we need to promote in order to attract young people.
To pick up from where Hlami left, you know, for young people, the in thing is technology. And even with primary production, you need to show them that you can do that, but using fancy stuff, if I can put it that way. If I can use a gadget, if I can press a button here and it works, that's what we need to promote. What we have started sort of taming agriculture these days to draw young people is, you know, iPad farming. You know, like if you're an iPad farmer, can you simulate on the iPad models to say, if I use this fertilizer, if I use this and this, what will it produce? You know, graphics, things that attract young people. Mm-hmm. Those are things that we really need to start focusing on. But in terms of policy processes, you know, when Hlami was talking, I was thinking, maybe I'm not doing enough to share my story of why I'm in agriculture, because that's what people need to do. Why are you in agriculture as a young person? And why is it working for you? So those are some of the things that we need to do.
In Latin America, and especially in Peru, youth are involved in agriculture since they can remember. But we practice small-scale and subsistence agriculture. The products we get are only used for day-to-day food, and we do not have the necessary nutrients to respond to youth basic needs. We need more. And this is a huge challenge for young people like me to ensure access to food with the right nutrients to meet our basic needs, be active, and carry out our activities. The second challenge would be to diversify our agriculture, to develop rural areas, and to allow the whole family to meet the basic food basket. And this is not happening right now. This is why we are facing rural exodus. Youth are not attracted to rural areas because they are not sustainable and they do not ensure them a decent quality of life. For such reason, the great majority of youth move to regional capitals and capital cities. In Peru, for example, we are approximately 30 million inhabitants. However, a third of the population is concentrated in Lima, the capital city. This is a big challenge for us, and it means making rural areas attractive enough to convince the youth and children to stay in such areas. And in this regard, we think that we need to promote local economic development, especially in rural areas, with the active participation of youth and women. Women are an essential human capital. They have to get involved in sustainable agricultural activities that would allow them to eat, to have a decent quality of life, that would provide adequate housing and ensure access to health and education.
Do you think the vision that policymakers or stakeholders have for youth in agriculture is the same vision of what youth have for themselves or for the future of the agriculture sector?
I think what I find as a limiting factor, you see a lot of talent or youth development initiative still looking at farming and the value chain from that narrow perspective. And we are sitting here in this room and we are sitting here in this conference. There are a lot of exciting ideas. You know, they are brilliant people. They are sharing their expertise. But when we sell the idea to young people. We are not selling the things that we are doing. We are not broadening it up. I mean, I've been sitting, you know, since Monday. It's amazing. You have CEOs. You have people who are doing brilliant things in the agricultural sector. If I were a young person listening to that, definitely I will run to the agricultural sector. But we are not selling that.
So agriculture maybe has a branding issue.
I agree. Agriculture has a branding issue. But I think it goes way beyond that. It's the opportunities. Where are they presented? Lami has mentioned that there are CEOs and, you know, all these big players here. But do young people have a space in those CEO meetings? Can they openly participate in that? And can they contribute to those discussions? That's a very important point, because we may be talking about all the wonderful things that agriculture can do for young people, but are young people in that space for them to be able to tap into the opportunities that we are saying there are out there? The other thing, in Africa, we have a growing population challenge. But what I'm afraid of is that agriculture is now being presented as a solution to solving the unemployment crisis that we have. It cannot be presented as a solution to an unemployment crisis, because you don't tell people to go into medicine because there's an unemployment crisis. You know, you don't tell people to go into finance because there's an unemployment crisis. So already by putting it across that way, you're making it less attractive, because it's like we don't have anything else to solve this problem with. So let's just do agriculture. It's not supposed to be that way. Agriculture is supposed to be the career of choice, because we're talking about food security here. You cannot be a doctor unless your stomach is full. You cannot be an accountant if you're hungry. So agriculture has to be the career of choice and not as an afterthought. So I think it's important that we stress that.
In my opinion, such kind of forums are really important to discuss, analyze, look at the current food security situation, and identify the most vulnerable people. I also think that we need to consider all proposals, including those that often remain unresolved or only on a paper. I am representing rural youth here. We are in 4 continents and more than 30 countries. We face many constraints, like working with local and national governments in our countries, for example. We think that national public investment systems are not addressing the agricultural needs of vulnerable rural populations. On the other hand, investment and capacity development in agriculture do not seem to be a priority. There's a huge gap between young farmers and the public and private sector. We need to find a connection point to link those 3 sectors and start working together, recognizing the importance of both youth and the rural sector. Youth are the second biggest part of the population after children, and we are responsible for promoting sustainable agricultural development in such vulnerable rural areas. As for the future of agriculture, I honestly had very little hope. We struggle every day to involve young people in rural areas in nearby activities, as there is a severe increase in migration. And sometimes the situation leaves us without any hope. By participating in the Global Mechanism meeting and CFS here gives us a great deal of hope that we should not lose on our way back home to lead our country organizations. We must keep high expectations, because we think that young people can get more involved in agriculture, but we need to work hard together and take action. Our organization follows an important methodology: see, evaluate, and perform. We have the right practices because we are democratically organized from local to national level. At local level, we have educational programs to develop agricultural capacities in various projects, such as a small animal breeding, vegetable production. We also promote family farming, livestock. At the local level, we have educational programs to develop agricultural capacities in various projects, such as small animal breeding, vegetable production. And we also promote family farming, livestock farming, and handicraft. These are all activities for youth developed within their organization. Yet, there is a lack to maintain the relation with our public sectors. I mean local and national governments and the private sector. To date, we lack direct experience, as we do not see the private sector.
So for the final question, let's go very quickly around the table, starting with Luth. What should be the role of youth in CFS and CFS decision-making going forward?
Youth must have an active and participative role. For that, we need to empower ourselves in such important place. I think that promoting organizational strengthening is very relevant. We cannot represent ourselves only in a forum like CFS. We need to promote organizational strengthening in the different rural areas as they are the most vulnerable. And from there, we need to standardize global experiences, projects and programs in order to promote public policies in support of the sector, considering the requirements and perceptions of youth. We also have to create a joint global plan. It is necessary because we must clearly define our objectives and our goals in the short and long term. If we do not have a global plan for the youth, we will continue our work without any long-term vision. Then, the Sustainable Development Goals seem very interesting to me. In all speeches, I have heard the role of youth, and now we only have to empower ourselves and start working through short-term and longer-term action plans with specific practices. That is the only way to move forward and build our new rural life.
I would like to see the youth being more involved in the CFS, and that involvement for me will entail a recognized seat within the CFS with the full voting rights. I'd like to see more and more programs within the CFS, especially at the annual meetings, having a focus on youth. In the plenary, we need to have more discussions on youth issues and how the challenges that young people are facing can be addressed. And by the way, the youth have the answers to how you can solve their challenges. So you cannot talk around them, you cannot talk about them and not involve them. So they have to be at the center of that. And young people should be given a space to showcase what works and to highlight the work that they themselves are initiating, not just work that development organizations come from somewhere and then come and implement. No. We need to look at the innovations that young people are coming up with. And we also need to look at the networks that are there to support young people, because I believe that talent development and skills development is beyond just having a BSc degree in agriculture. It's more comprehensive than that. And the CFS has an opportunity to be able to sort of bring that to the fore and highlight that and really engage young people.
I will take my discussion to the implementation towards, you know, the Global Agenda 2030. What is the role of young people there? I like the PERFECT. I use PERFECT as an acronym. This is a concept that I borrowed, using it in the context of, you know, talent development. P stands for policies. We need young people to engage in policy processes. The E stands for entrepreneurship. We need young entrepreneurs. The R stands for research. It's amazing how research within, you know, agriculture and nutrition is organized. We need to sell that. We need to sell that to attract in our top students to take agriculture as the career of choice. F, that is the farming that everybody is looking at. But I would like to add, you know, finance. We need to attract your BCom students and the people that are in the financial sector who can actually see agriculture as an opportunity. Food science. At the moment, we're talking about, you know, the link between food, agriculture, health, and this is what the SDGs are all about. It's all about partnerships. We need to attract those. The other E, education. Every organization talks about training, capacity building. Is that not an opportunity for young people to engage and contribute? Extension and rural advisory services. That is also an opportunity that we are not selling for young people. The C, communications. You sitting there, you are interviewing us. It's all about, you know, communications, journalism. We're talking about theater. We're talking about social media and stuff. We have to sell that to attract young people who have got those skills to really engage. And the T, the issues of trade. We need negotiators. We need people who are really engaging on those things. But technologies that Tembi was talking about. We're talking about the ICTs. We're talking about technologies. We need young people to contribute. And when we look at these perfect opportunities for young people, we have a better possibility to achieve our Agenda 2030.
I would have to agree on the point raised earlier that I'd like the CFS to be an avenue for, you know, to look into more cases on how young people can be engaged. You know, the call for experiences was really, really impressive. From what we learned is that there are actually a lot of initiatives going on around the world on how to engage young people. So I think we should do a lot of these things just so we can compare notes, what works in this country, what can probably work in this country, so we can replicate these initiatives. I'd like to close my part of this podcast by raising 3 points. First, engaging young people in agriculture, it is important to show relevance. The youth should realize that their participation is important, that they can actually do something. If they want to end hunger, they themselves can do something. And that's what the campaign is doing, the campaign that I'm leading, the InfoMediary campaign. It operates in some of the remotest communities in the Philippines that are not usually reached by extension services. So we're basically mobilizing the young people to serve as information providers in that community. Second is start from where they are. The question earlier, does the vision to engage the youth is the same thing with their vision for themselves? I'd like to say that the chance is high that it is not. For instance, in the Philippines, if you ask young people there, they will say they'd like to be a nurse in the UK or an IT expert in the United States. All these high-paying jobs in other countries, they'd like to take that. But if you look further, if you try to reread migration data, you see, since the 1970s, the InfoMediary campaign, by the way, is an action research. We've been following through the literature on youth out-migration from agricultural communities. What it says basically is since the 1970s, the literature has been expounding on problems, but not much on solutions. So they've been saying there's massive youth exodus away from agricultural communities, from rice farming communities. But hey, what are we doing? So you don't find much of these things. So there's a need to reread migration data. If young people say that they'd like to move to urban communities, does that equate to them not wanting to be engaged in agriculture? Our research say that it doesn't follow. They'd like to be engaged in another way. They'd like to pursue other passions. They'd like to be nurses, IT experts, but they do not want to leave agriculture. This means that the policymakers should create ways on how we can creatively engage the youth in agriculture. The third point is participatory engagement. When we'd like to engage young people, it cannot just be engaging young people per se. There are a lot of major stakeholders here. First is their parents. The parents, you know, they wouldn't want their children to take agriculture. So we should engage them. Why is there a need for us to work collaboratively on these matters? Second, in our context, are there teachers? We need to engage the teachers so they will have, you know, the energy, the positive energy to capacitate the students to somehow serve as, in our context, again, as information providers in these remote rice farming communities.
We could probably speak for hours. Thanks to you all for participating in today's discussion. Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Gracias.